What's up, MuggleCast listeners? If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Get your own .com domain name for as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, as a listener of MuggleCast, enter code RON, that's R-O-N, when you check out, and get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Today's MuggleCast is also brought to you by Borders. It won't be long before the much-anticipated release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you have your mind made up about where Severus Snape's loyalties lie? Do you think he'll betray Harry and his friends, or will he help them to triumph over he who must not be named? Find out more about this complex character in the hot new book, The Great Snape Debate, available only at Borders. Remember to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders to save 40%. Because, oh my god, like, two new trailers. This is MuggleCast episode 88 for April 29th, 2007, dedicated to AF. We got a Facebook comment on our little group profile last week, and I thought it was very fitting because we were off the show last week, and it just so happens that a certain video game came out last week. It comes from Chris Heaton in West Midlands, the West Midlands Network Facebook group. Anyone a part of that?
I am.
Okay, no. Ben.
I'm back.
Yeah, nobody cares. Yeah,
oh, he wrote, ouch.
So, you guys are having that a break hurts. On the 22nd of April, which curiously is the release date of Pokemon Diamond/Pearl in the U.S. Coincidence? I think not. Doing other things? Yeah, right. Oh, how I love it.
So we thought we got together to play Pokemon?
Because, you know, we've been doing this segment on the show lately where we make Pokemon references, and the week we took off just happened to be the week that the new Pokemon game was released, so...
Oh.
That is true for some of us, like Eric and Jamie, but for others it's not, like me. But, okay, we, you know, I like taking a week off, because when we come back, it's like a whole big thing, and, you know, now I have a studio audience, and we've missed out on so much news that we have so much to talk about this week. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I am Eric Skull.
And I'm Laura Thompson.
Micah Tannenbaum is standing by in the MuggleCast News Center with past week's top Harry Potter news stories. Micah.
I don't even have time to thank you, Andrew. Well, it was a week ago today that we received the international trailer for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and later in the week received a full theater version that debuted on Yahoo. You can check out the trailers as well as a handful of new screenshots from the film over on MuggleNet.com. Speaking of trailers, another new trailer has been released, but this time it's for the upcoming Order of the Phoenix video game. It is available for download. The game will be released on June 25th. MillionairePlayboy.com has posted a review of the brand new Hogwarts LEGO set as part of their new Order of the Phoenix collection due out in May. You can watch a video review and see some great pictures over on MuggleNet.com. Time Magazine has a new article discussing the villains of the summer's movies. Dolores Umbridge is, of course, one of those listed, with the following being said. As Dolores Umbridge, the bureaucrat from the Ministry of Magic in this summer's Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Imelda Staunton is a little bit priestess, a little bit villainous. Staunton, the latest in a line of top British thespians to visit Hogwarts, found it a tough balancing act. She said the character has to be ridiculous and yet real and frightening. She has to be silly and yet not cartoony. It's difficult to gauge. And speaking of Time Magazine, they are currently running a poll asking who the most influential people are in the world. No one person will be selected, but the results are based on an overall vote influenced by site visitors. J.K. Rowling is one of the 202 nominees, so go vote for her now. As of today, the Harry Potter author ranks in at number 9. And speaking of Jo, she was honored with the 2007 Rave Award. The award, given to 22 distinguished people, recognizes those who, before changing the game in technology, business, or culture, they first changed themselves. The award ceremony took place Friday night in San Francisco, but Jo unfortunately could not attend. July 3rd, 2007 has been confirmed as the date for the UK premiere of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. The US premiere will take place on July 8th. The venue is rumored to be in Los Angeles. Furthermore, it's alleged that a premiere is scheduled for June 28th in Japan. Finally, Bloomsbury has employed security measures for the release of Deathly Hallows. The British Harry Potter publisher has revealed some of their security measures to ensure the magic of Deathly Hallows is maintained until July 21st. According to the Scotsman, the book will only be delivered to bookshops one day prior to the release, and they will be sealed in crates bound by steel chain. Furthermore, security guards will be deployed to printing plants, and Amazon has agreed to store its copies in warehouses at secret locations. That's all the news for this April 29th, 2007 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
All right, thank you, Micah. We're going to start off the show today with a little serious note.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to take a moment, since we did take a break last week, to address the tragedy at Virginia Tech. As former, current, and soon-to-be enrolled college students, it really is a horrible realization that something like this can happen on a campus or anywhere else, really. I mean, what did you guys think of it?
It was just... Yeah,
I just couldn't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
It was just it was shocking.
And immediately everybody thinks back to Columbine, and then, you know, this was all very devastating. But even, you know...
The video is what was...
Yeah, yeah.
That was terrible, you know? Not only... Yeah. They gave the guy exactly what he wanted, which is the problem that I had with it.
Yeah, I agree, Ben.
Is you don't put those videos on air.
Right, but. Right. Well, you know, I'm sure NBC got a little... I don't want to say excited, but... Well, no, not a kickback, but, you know, they benefited from it. It sounds bad, but they
because
did.
Because CNN everywhere had the NBC watermark up in the corner, so...
Right. Right, but anyway, Micah came up with a good idea that he suggested to us earlier this week, that we put a little Virginia Tech ribbon in the album art this week to recognize those who were lost in the tragedy and to show our support for everyone trying to get through this time right now. So, all right, we have quite a few announcements to get to. First, Jamie is off the show. For a month. Got everyone excited for a second. He was actually at Electronic Arts today to report for MuggleNet and MuggleCast about the new Order of the Phoenix video game coming out. And he has to finish up school for the next month, and he's busy with that. So he will be off the show for some time. I just want to let everyone know now before we start getting in the emails. Oh, where's Jamie? I think he's funny. I think he's, you know,
British.
He's a good co-host. British, yeah. It's not.
I think he's none of that.
So, well, if anyone wants to share some gossip about him, anyone got some gossip about Jamie?
About Jamie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually made the train this time.
Yeah, he did. He did. Good point, Laura. He was on a train today, and he did make it. We weren't going to bail him out of this one.
Actually, send your donations to jamieisawaysixface2@gmail.com.
He's good.
Just kidding.
The ride home.
Don't send your money.
Also, everybody, Mike is not here this week, and that's because he's been pretty upset at the lack of updates on Jo's site. So last I heard, he was on his way to Edinburgh to have a little chat with her.
He seriously IMs me every day and says, why hasn't Jo made an update? Why hasn't Jo made an update? And it really gets to him more than anyone else.
Mike has got a crush.
Yeah. You know. Also, I just wanted to make a note that we are looking for an audio editor, someone who can start editing the show this summer, just for like a month or two. What we need is someone who can take the show, take the 5 audio tracks that we all record, put them together, and clean it up. Take out everyone else talking, you know, take out all the... Not inappropriate stuff, but the stuff that really can't go on the show.
You can say it, the inappropriate stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, we're looking for someone with experience who is very good at audio editing. You've heard the show, so you know what we're looking for. So for like a month or two over the summer, I need someone who can edit the show because we're going to be very busy. So email me, andrew@staff.mugglenet.com, if anyone is interested. And hey, there might be a little... kick back your way.
Yeah, like a shirt.
Help us out. You know what I'm saying?
Also, I'm going to be very busy over the summer, so I'm looking for somebody in the Wichita, Kansas metro area to do my laundry. So email me at ben@staff.mugglenet.com.
A little kickback for that too.
Yeah, yeah. You could hang
you
out.
You need
with
guidance,
me.
And
you get handle. You get to handle my undergarments.
If you need emotional guidance from that suggestion that Ben just made, you can contact any of us, and we will be happy to help you through this tough time.
And also, if you checked up on the site within the past week or so, we are going to be at, not LeakyMog, we're going to be at Prophecy 2007. We've sort of been hinting at it for a while. We've said we're going to be probably going to Prophecy, and now it's official, and we got all the details worked out. We're going to be doing a midnight podcast.
It's going to be sweet.
Podcast at
midnight.
Oh my
gosh.
That's past my bedtime. That might be a bit of a problem for me. But we're going to be doing that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ben, you're excited?
Oh my gosh. I thrive at night. I'm in a night owl.
You are.
I love it. I love it.
So that's going to be a great new spin to the whole live podcasting that we do.
The question, so, you know, a lot of people have been asking, are we really going to wear pajamas?
Yeah, I don't see why
I think
not.
We should.
Whoa.
I think we should.
Ben, what's your problem?
Appropriate
with
pajamas, Ben.
I sleep in the nude. Thank
okay.
you.
You've said too much. So go to visit prophecy2007.org for more information on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think registration, you could still register.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're running out of spots. The Yule Ball is going to be a lot of fun. Excuse me, the Decade of Enchantment Ball. They just got 250 more spots. So this thing's going to be huge. I can't even
huge.
Imagine. Also, Ben. Okay.
Yes.
It's time now for our big announcement of the show.
Oh geez.
Nobody
we've
told been working
me.
On it for it's been in the right lane. Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Never mind.
Okay.
I do know. I'm kidding.
What do you think I was going to say? Ben.
Oh, I just got you guys good. I knew all along.
All right. So, Ben, we've been working on something for a while now that, I mean, with all the trips that we're going to be doing over the summer, with all of the live podcasts and such that we're going to be doing, we need money. And we're selling t-shirts for about a year. And
we can't do that anymore.
Right.
So there's a bit of a problem here.
Right. But we've come up with a solution.
A solution. What is it, Andrew? It's pickles again.
It's pickles. We are going for a pickle kind of solution.
And Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Pickled peppers.
You know what? Did you say pack in there?
No, there was a pack in there.
A pack of pickle?
Because today we are introducing the Pickle Pack, which is a brand new membership, so to speak, to MuggleCast. We'll still be doing the regular shows every Sunday. We'll still be doing the hour-long episodes that you've come to know and love with all the humor and great content that you guys all enjoy. But we're starting something new at picklepack.com, which is a how do I want to put it? A membership. It's a membership to MuggleCast, but what you get is a bunch of new bonus material. Bonus content, right. Ben, can you explain what people are going to be getting?
Essentially, well, here's what's happening. You're paying us for a subscription to this website. And with the subscription, you get a free t-shirt mailed to you. And you get a lot of bonus content. Now, when we say bonus content, you're probably thinking, guys, you're being really vague here. What is bonus content? Why would I buy? Okay, here's why. You get video blogs for each of us, special episodes, a hint at what's to come with Muggle Cast. So basically, you get everything. You get previews of things. You get all the stuff that you normally wouldn't get.
If you're a hardcore MuggleCast fan, you're going to want this. Each day, one of us is going to be making a new blog post, which we're calling Blickles. And everyone's going to have an assigned day of the week. So say Laura's on Monday. She'll be posting whether it's a written blog or a video blog. And these could be about anything. They don't even have to be about MuggleCast. But then also we're going to have the inside content like Ben was mentioning. We're going to throw some bonus stuff in there. Okay, we've been holding on to this map that Jamie drew of the United States for quite a while now, and it's probably one of the funniest things we've ever seen in our lives.
Do you still have that?
Yeah, I still have it.
Oh, awesome.
Jamie probably doesn't want it to get out, but it's going to get out. And Micah has some audio content. We're going to be recording lots of extra stuff. We're going to have bloopers, bonus segments, all kinds of stuff. So visit picklepack.com for more. I have 600 Pickle Pack t-shirts sitting here in my room right now, and we need to get rid of every last one of them. One of the first videos going up on picklepack.com is going to be a video of me and my brother Ryan modeling off the Pickle Pack t-shirts. So, Ben, how can people sign up for Pickle Pack?
You can sign up for Pickle Pack by visiting, picklepack.com. Those of you who already have an account on MuggleNet to make comments in the news, you're already a step ahead of the game here. You just go to picklepack.com, log in, and it'll ask you to enter your payment information, and Andrew will send you a t-shirt.
Right. And it's also going to be coming with a nice little letter that Laura wrote up.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, the cost is only $30 per year, and that includes shipping and handling domestically. We're still working out a system for international orders right now, but it may be slightly more depending on your location and all of that. But stay tuned for that. So yeah, go ahead. And remember, all proceeds from the Pickle Pack go to support the show. As I said before, we have movie premieres this summer we need to go to. We have Harry Potter conventions. And our parents aren't just giving us they just aren't giving us enough allowance. So
I've done all my chores. We
need all of your help.
We are serious when we say every last dollar of this is going to be going to into the podcast, into the expenses that it takes to do these live shows, and you are going to be getting your money's worth. There's going to be at least 10 new things going on picklepack.com every week. So I mean, this is definitely worth the money. Plus, you get a free t-shirt. It's going to be great. For more information, visit picklepack.com.
We're only going to be taking signups until June 16th. So that gives you basically a month and a half to get signed up, get your Pickle Pack t-shirt, go down in history as a member of the Pickle Pack.
Exclusive, elusive, MuggleCast Pickle Pack. And then we probably won't be taking signups again until probably next year. So, you know, now's the time to get into the Pickle Pack. And again, all the money will be benefiting MuggleCast. And we appreciate everyone signing up very, very much, as you'll see in the nice letter that Laura wrote up. Mm-hmm. Now that we got that out of the way, it's time to talk about the trailers, because we got two trailers within the past week, even. So, which one? You guys want to start with the international trailer, since we got that first?
Yeah, let's start with it.
All right, initial thoughts, boys and girls. Who wants to start?
I want to start. I really do.
Okay.
I am so pumped for this movie. You have no idea how pumped I am after watching these things. Because I remember back when Prisoner of Azkaban came out, I remember sitting at my computer. We had one family computer. I didn't even have a laptop back then. I was sitting at the one family computer just watching the trailer over and over and over again. And I just got more and more excited. I remember going to the theater and sitting there getting all antsy and, you know, antsy in my pantsy at the screen. It was great. And after seeing this, it was comparable to having that all happen again. You know, being basically a virgin Harry Potter fan, you know, being exposed to it for the first time. And I'm really excited for this film. There's a few things I noticed in the international trailer. Something that I really liked was when Umbridge just busts the people making out. I mean, that's something we've never seen before. People just snogging each other in the hallway. And I also liked when Fred and George, that scene with them, the fireworks and stuff, as they're flying over the Great Hall. That was really cool. But the one thing that just really confused me, that I still am having a hard time understanding, is why was Voldemort in a suit? Does anybody know? That was
Laura, you had a good idea about this, didn't you?
I can't remember specifically where it was in the book, but I remember at one point, and I think it was in Order of the Phoenix, where Harry remarked and made some kind of comment about, or a joke about, Voldemort hiding behind a dustbin in the street or something and leaping out from behind it. And I almost kind of took that as an interpretation, like, and the suit almost being like so many people were denying that he was back, that he could be standing in the middle of platform in 9 3/4 in a suit and no one would notice. And I'm pretty sure it's a nightmare.
It's definitely a dream sequence type thing.
That's a good point, though.
Harry just kind of fades in and out.
You think this is Harry having a nightmare? Because isn't this when he's right about to get on the Hogwarts Express? Don't you think he might be zoning out or something?
Well, it could be a daydream or a nightmare or something. But...
or Voldemort's getting inside of his head. Or Voldemort put it there. Interesting, though.
What if, like, you know, after the close-up of Voldemort in the suit, it cuts back to Harry, and then he, like, squints at him closer or something.
And then it turns into a normal person or something.
It's like Malfoy or something.
That'd be really cool. I think that'd be great interpretation.
At least it's not a shrunken Jamaican head. That's the way I look at it.
The shrunken head.
Quarren's touch on
that
film.
Guy was
I enjoyed
awesome.
That very much.
Anyway,
I like the suit.
Yo, I want that suit.
I might be getting that for prom. Still don't have a date yet. Email me, andrew@stuffamongthat.com.
And moving on through the trailer, Ron has a really corny line, and I think it's going to be one of those lines that everyone's thinking, why did he just say that? Because, you know, every movie has like a really corny line. In Goblet of Fire, it was when Harry walked into the tent, and he just turns around and he goes, I love magic, and it just like, oh, did he just say that? You ruined. Did he just say that? That's what you think. And the line of the trailer was, "Who are you, and what have you done with Hermione Granger?"
I thought that was good. I don't think that was very corny.
No, it was a good line.
I thought it was okay.
It is kind of cliche, but
I thought it was too cliche for my taste. I'm just having a hard time with the sincerity of the acting. You know,
with Ron,
not with Ron. Rupert? With
I, jeez.
In that scene, I had a problem with Emma. I know, shocking. I love Emma. I love Emma. Emma, I love you. It just when she said the way she said, "Breaking rules is fun, isn't it?" It just didn't really sound like she was in the role, like she was Hermione. It is taking it out of context, but in that part, it just didn't sound like she was Hermione, you know? Like she was being Hermione.
But thus far in the movie series, we haven't really seen... I mean, we've seen a bookie Hermione Granger maybe in the first movie, but it's never really been important. What's always been more important is, does my hair really look like that from behind? Kind of a fashion sense. They've made Hermione more of
More superficial, basically.
More superficial, exactly. And so for Ron to say here, you know, who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger? Yes, it's funny, but only for those who've read the book and actually have an image of a bookie, intelligent Hermione Granger in them. Because those who've seen the movies, yeah. I mean...
So in a way, it's almost ironic, too, because...
Yeah, I think they should have been a little bit more careful before drawing that contrast, because there's nothing in the movies to support that line that would make it funny at all, really.
Yeah, and see, something about Goblet of Fire was that I really thought Emma Watson did an excellent job in that movie. I thought it was her best yet, and I'm expecting the same... In Order of the Phoenix, just that line was just sort of, it was almost a corny moment. You know, kind of like at the end of Goblet of Fire when Harry and Ron, they say, "Well, I'll write you every day or whatever." And they're like, "No, we won't." It's just dumb because, you're friends. You're friends, but you're not going to bother to talk to each other. I mean, Harry doesn't have anybody except his fat cousin who sits on the couch eating Oreos all day. But he's not going to write you guys. No, that's not going to happen.
Biscuits, Ben. Biscuits.
Now, I'm a big Alan Rickman fan, and I love his portrayal of Snape. But was anyone not amused by him hitting Ron over the head? Because he's already done that. Why is he doing it again?
But that's part of the thing with these movies. They have these, like Ben was saying, these constant recurring corny moments. Like, if you remember back to Sorcerer's Stone, the big thing throughout that was Seamus blowing stuff up all the time. every five seconds he blew something up.
And that got old quick.
Yeah, it did. And I think they just do it for the kids. I think they do it so the kids have something to laugh at.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see, what else does people want to talk about? I was real big fan of the music underneath this international trailer.
Yeah.
I just thought it was very powerful and, you know.
Now,
and
who's doing it this time? Is it the...
It's not John Williams. Correct?
Dolan? Something Dolan?
Yeah, Peter Dolan, I think, something like that. Peter
Insert
Doyle?
Peter
Doyle.
Peter Doyle, here. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Peter Doyle.
Yeah, so I was really impressed by that. My favorite part of the trailer, the music at least, is underneath Hermione, or underneath Ron's line, you know, "Who are you, what have you done with it?" It's like, bum, bum, bum. I just thought that was really good.
Something I noticed, I typed out a few of my favorite lines in here. And in the international trailer, when Dumbledore says, "Don't fight him, Harry, you can't win." To me, that doesn't seem like something Dumbledore would say.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of feedback about that, actually.
I think he was talking about the occlumency, though. I think he was kind of telling Harry not to try to invade Voldemort's mind, just to focus on keeping Voldemort out of his.
Everyone seemed to take that to be Dumbledore talking about Voldemort.
We'll see. At the end of the trailer, a lot of people think that when Harry shouts Expelliarmus, and then Voldemort is shown doing something right after that. At first, I thought, well, what's Harry doing dueling Voldemort again? Did he duel Voldemort?
No, he didn't.
Sort of. Well, he just dived out of the way, right?
Yeah, Northern Phoenix, pretty much. Right? Dumbledore told
him. Yeah, and so I was just sort of wondering, well, what was going on there? I think it's two different clips. They wouldn't put a
Well, remember, Harry dueled with Bellatrix. He tried to go after her.
Yeah, and in this shot, Sirius is blocking Harry. So that's probably that scene. I hope they're not trying to create the perception that Dumbledore is and Harry are dueling, because that would be kind of...
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that it was in the domestic trailer where Dumbledore and Voldemort were dueling and they were having a Priori Incantatum moment. Did you guys notice that? Their wands were connected.
Hold on, wait. Let's get to that in a second, because okay. That end of that trailer was so good.
I know.
But
at the end of the international trailer.
Yeah, let's talk about the internet.
When Voldemort says, "You will lose everything," that sent chills down my spine. I'm so happy
that made the trailer, because it looks so corny on the poster.
It looked really lame.
It just
said
straight up, "You will lose everything." I'm like, oh, that's stupid. What, you know?
Yeah, but I was wondering who said it. You know, who says you will lose everything? That was the thing for me.
Well, I thought it was Voldemort, because Voldemort's right there on the cover, or on the poster. But in the trailer, it sounds so much better because there's that long pause. You will lose everything. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, Ralph Fiennes is great.
He is great.
He is an awesome actor.
The actors in these movies are incredible. I mean, they do every role justice in my mind. With the exception of Gambit Dumbledore from time to time, I think that every role is done justice. I mean, there's nothing that I am extremely displeased with in these films.
Yeah.
Feel free to disagree. I mean,
in these films or in the trailer, in this Order of the Phoenix?
Films in general, the acting is just so wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I wasn't really happy about, though, was when Dumbledore is there on trial and Fudge says, let me play it. He's not back. He's not back. He says it like he's losing his voice or something, and I hate that voice, because that's not how he sounds in Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, I take that back. I was extremely disappointed with Barty Crouch Sr., okay?
Yeah, that
Harry Potter, you.
Yeah, yeah, but just Fudge. His voice, was he? Did he lose his voice that day? Because
no,
that sounds
it
terrible.
Almost sounded to me like he was. I don't want to say whispering, but kind of trying to shush
like
Dumbledore in a way by the tone of his voice.
Has anyone else seen Robert Hardy, the actor who plays Fudge, act a lot before? He really isn't that much in the movie. You don't hear him speak that much, so maybe we just haven't seen him talk enough until now.
Yeah. I'm looking at his IMDb just for kicks. He hasn't really starred in any big movies.
For British actors, you can never really tell what movies they do, how popular they'll be. But, you know, unless they're premiered in America, which, you know, everyone's kind of doing. But, no, he had a big scene in Chamber of Secrets. Remember when Lucius Malfoy went with Cornelius to Hagrid's hut and tried to...
Was that the same guy?
Yeah, it was the same guy, but that's why you asked that, Laura.
So I just...
He looked different. He looked completely different. And in Prisoner of Azkaban, he was pretty much the same, you know. Oh, Harry, we don't send people to Azkaban just for blowing up their aunts.
Yeah.
But then Tom was so different, so that was really messed up.
Anything else to bring up about this international trailer?
Well, while we were still talking about the characters, I just wanted to bring up Imelda Staunton as Umbridge.
She just looks so good.
She really looks brilliant. I'm so excited. You know, whenever she did that little kind of squeaky laugh, like, I can't even imitate it, but when she did it, it annoyed me so much.
You know what? And I wanted to hit the wall. I extracted that clip of her laugh, and I thought we could start playing it on the show every time we said something funny, but then it just got so annoying after I played it for, like, the 10th time, and it sounded so fake after you hear it so many times. I was thinking about this. I'm a little afraid there's almost too much focus on Umbridge. Like, they really center around her in this trailer. Like, she's in almost every shot, you know, just her being herself. And I almost feel like there might be too much of Umbridge.
Well, the Ministry, I don't think so.
She plays a big role, but I just really want to come out of the movie hating her. And if we do, then I think...
Look at the international trailer right after Hagrid says something about, you know, the war coming, full-scale uprising. And then there's, like, 10 centaurs who are, like, running through the woods, who burst out of this, like, in between two trees. Like, if that's the scene where Umbridge gets attacked by the centaurs, I'm willing to see it.
No.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm going to run to see the movie because that's just going to be so good. But no, Laura was talking about hitting the wall too. The international trailer is punctuated with the hammer and the nail on the wall, nailing up Umbridge's educational decrees.
Yeah. So. Really? I thought it was kind of cool the way they had this.
Well, no, I love how they have them set up. I don't like how it kept cutting back to Fudge nailing in, you know, the different... You mean Filch?
You said Fudge.
Oh, I meant Filch. But have we talked on the show at all about the change in the movie where Cho rats out Harry?
Okay. Yes.
Because the trailer gives that away, so I thought it's fair game now. I'm also a big fan of the scene where they're running through the Hall of Prophecies. I thought that looks really cool.
Oh my gosh, it
completely
looks amazing.
Digital.
Laura, what did you think of the Ministry of Magic?
I don't know. I think the Ministry, I think the whole thing looks really good just from what we've seen of it in the trailers.
Oh my gosh. Guys, I just uncovered the scene where Remus is holding Harry back from the veil. It's towards the very end of the international trailer, right after the wall of prophecy, the wall of educational decrees blows up, but then the fiery dragon's coming through it. There's a short scene where Harry's just screaming, and you can see Remus, like, holding him back. I really like that, the way that looks. It's just, because you can tell Sirius is just dying.
Yeah. Let's move on now to the domestic trailer, which came out a mere, 3 days later?
Yeah, one of the first things I noticed were the Dementors, and... they look really different, but I like them.
Yeah.
They look really, really good. This was the one that I basically sat there and went through frame by frame just to look at everything. And I just love the way the Dementors look. They look really, really good.
The end, which you wanted to talk about earlier. The shot of Dumbledore and Voldemort is amazing. I can't even... It's really...
Yeah, ugh. It looks so good. But... my only problem with it is it looks like they have Priori Incantatum going on.
I need to find it.
It really does. And at first I thought it might have been Harry, but then I looked at it and the robes looked like Dumbledore's.
Oh, it's 142.
I don't even have it up right now.
Yeah,
that's
definitely not Harry. Yeah, because the colors are different in the spells and they're clashing. Like Voldemort's is green and Dumbledore's is red. That scene's going to be so amazing, though.
Yeah, another thing that I wanted to bring up, what was with that? Did you notice that one, it was really short, where the kids, like, they were falling, but
then
they
stopped.
What was that? I was trying to think of, like, what happened in the book that would even influence that.
Oh, they must be coming into the Department of Mysteries, because they're all
there.
But
they didn't fall into the Department of Mysteries.
It reminded me of Hook, when Robin Williams' character just begins to gain flight after falling down the old treehouse shaft and then bursts out in tights and everything.
But this is the Department of Mysteries. Look around.
Well, it's got to be. They're all there.
All you see is a...
they're all there. And look at the brick.
The question is, who's
and
casting that?
One of the pictures that was released like a month ago by Newsweek, there's a picture with this set, with those like green bricks and, you know, that kind of set. And they said it was in the Department of Mysteries.
Oh, wait. Actually, when I thought originally that it was when they fall and somebody's holding out an arm with a wand, but actually it's 2 feet. So somebody else is like in front of them. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
That makes very little...
Yeah.
I also see Umbridge casting a spell before that. So that's really... I don't know, guys. I can't find the whole Dumbledore Priori Incantatum thing.
I also... Well, that's at 142, I think. I like the shots where Harry and Dudley back at Privet Drive, right after Dudley gets attacked by the Dementor. Harry casts a spell, he's like, the way he casts it, it's like he's rolling a bowling ball, sort of. I'm going frame by frame. It's like an underhand pitch almost. It's not the normal like overhand thing.
His stroke, his wand stroke.
There. But that's a really cool shot.
The whole set of like Privet Drive and the surrounding neighborhoods is completely different. Like.
Yeah, they're in a tunnel. They weren't
like
in a tunnel.
It almost looks like they're in a city.
Yeah.
Inside that tunnel.
Yeah, because in Prisoner of Azkaban, it was fairly open, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something I liked about the trailer, Ben Shane, always a sucker for romance, when Cho says, "You're a really good teacher, Harry," and then they kiss, you know, that's just so, it was heartwarming. say the least.
What I did like about that was right afterwards, the transition from that stupid love scene to like the dark, serious stuff, because like the music suddenly changes.
To all the good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought that was a cool line, though. You're a really good teacher, Harry.
I guess. Yeah.
And then she had to drop the kid because they had to have another one of those corny moments like we were talking about.
Or when Sirius said, "It's your turn, Harry." I really like that, too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, if you're a chick.
Oh, wow.
But there was... everyone should download the 1080p version. It's beautiful.
You can What's see a 1080p?
It's high def. It's like a 150 megabyte trailer. It's... Yeah, the
My computer
awesome.
Couldn't handle that one.
Yeah, it plays
Where
a little
do I get
slow.
This from, guys?
Links are on MuggleNet. I can't remember exactly. Let's just run through shots that we think are really good. I mean, I love the one where Harry is in a really close aisle of prophecies, and he's running by himself. I'm a sucker, Ben, for shots that are shaky camera shots to illustrate the action and the movement of the scene.
Okay, guys, here's what happens. Hold on a second. You have to hear me out here quickly. Here's what always happens whenever, and I'm serious, I mean whenever we start talking about a movie. It happened with Goblet of Fire. It always happens. We start off talking about, oh my gosh, this movie looks so great, and then the second we see the movie, after we get out of the movie, we say, that was a wonderful movie, and then Emerson says, hands down, the best film yet, and then the crowd goes wild and screaming and stuff. Right, and then 3 weeks later, 3 weeks, a month later, we're talking about the movie on the show, and all of a sudden we're all talking about how much we hate it and how it didn't do the book justice.
I don't know,
this
I
is what
really
we always do.
Because we all get caught up in the hype in the beginning, and the trailer's like an amazing action-packed 2 minutes of just, you know, the best scenes. And
so let's be realistic
really
here. What does this
trailer...
mean for the film? What does this mean for the film?
Honestly,
what does this trailer mean for the film?
Freaking awesome.
Jam-packed. I have to say, looking back at Goblet of Fire, it was good, but it's not as good as I thought it was when I first saw it.
Ben, you're
right.
It's just that simple. Ben, Ben's right.
I almost felt like it was a pain to get through the three challenges, because it's like, all right, well, now we're at number one. Okay, now we're at number two. All right.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't a pain. I thought it moved incredibly fast.
It moves quick.
It did an excellent job.
Quick.
Because everything is just so boom, boom, boom. There is no... If you go to the bathroom and Goblet of Fire during that movie, you're hosed, okay? You can't...
Yeah,
you come back,
true.
And you're completely out of the loop. So, yeah. Parents, before seeing Order of the Phoenix, take your children to the restroom. You are also going to regret it.
And take yourself to the restroom, too. When you see movie 5, though, you're going to immediately think that movie 4 sucked. I really think so. I'm going to. I'm already thinking movie 4 sucked.
Initially, people are going to run out of the premiere after they see the movie, run to the live podcast, talk about how cool everything was, instead of objectively judging the movie like they will a week later.
Oh.
You know? That's how I honestly think it was.
I don't like what you're doing, Ben. I mean, you're saying that people will not like this movie after they give it a real serious think. Are you ignoring...
No, I'm not... No. No, I'm saying that from our perspective, as people on a podcast... We analyze every little detail. Andrew started talking about timestamps a little bit ago. Did you see it 44 seconds? You know, we analyze every little detail to the point of where it's even if we actually do enjoy the film, it sounds like we don't because we're scrutinizing it so much. Is what I'm saying, and I think that's true.
But you know, at any rate, I think we're all in agreement. This is probably going to be completely. Yeah, countering what you just said, but it's going to be the best movie ever. I really think so. I think it's got a great group of actors.
Yeah.
We're going to be seeing everyone in this film, and we're going to have an awesome duel at the end.
I don't... Yeah.
And well, besides the fact, Order of the Phoenix is my favorite book. So, Eric, your opinion on all of this?
Well, I didn't think their acting was lacking, really. I mean, I love all the other movies. I don't hate the previous films, just because I think 5 is going to be great. I've even made my amends with POA. I really have. So, I love all the previous films. I don't really know what's going on.
See, that's the thing. When I remember first watching Sorcerer's Stone, I loved that movie. That was my favorite movie. At the time, it was my favorite movie, period.
You're allowed to have new favorites.
I know. I'm just saying that it's just sort of interesting how from like the standpoint of someone who back then I wasn't involved in the website or anything like that, and I really enjoyed the movie and I kept enjoying the movie. But once I saw it 1,000 times, I started nitpicking at it. I liked it less.
Well, I think that's what people like us do. When you consider the general public who isn't as obsessed with Harry Potter as we are, the people who are going to watch it once, maybe twice, they won't have as many problems with it as we obviously will, because we are going to watch it 10 million times. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I think that that's a big part of all of the criticisms we have for the movies.
Hey, if somebody has to sit in a room and review this movie 5,000 times, I'm game to volunteer. Because it looks like it's going to be so good.
It really does.
Well, see what should we see what the listeners thought about the trailer?
Ben, that's a great idea. Earlier this week, we posted on MuggleCast.com and looked for your feedback.
Vanessa19 from California says, I must say, wow. Just wow. I get goosebumps whenever I watch that trailer. There are a lot of shots of action scenes with things breaking and with lots of chaos, which the book did convey. I'm particularly excited about the Weasleys' chaos. Other than that, I'm just speechless.
Yeah. Everyone got chills, right, when they saw it?
Yeah. I think this is probably the best preview we've ever gotten for any
That's
of the
I
Potter
with.
Films.
But if you remember, really? I think it's something different that they did in marketing, because Goblet of Fire, remember, we had full scenes from the movie. Not full scenes, but clips from the actual movie. We had, 10 scenes of, a minute long, 2 minutes long? Like the ferret scene, etc., and they released it. They're not doing that with this, but yet we get such a better trailer, and international and domestic trailers are just so much more.
But how do we know they're not going to do that? The last time what they did is they waited until May, and they did a special on ABC. Wasn't that what it was? That's what it was for Prisoner of Azkaban. They had a special in May on ABC where they played Chamber of Secrets on TV, and then they had the previews, the interstitials for Goblet of Fire.
They were actual clips in the movie, and if anybody understands what I'm saying, I just want to speak out against that happening in this movie, because they ruined the
spoiler.
They just
way.
Took it out of the out of context of the rest of the movie. And even though they were great scenes, and it's great, oh yes, they kept this scene in the movie. I would prefer if it stayed in one whole piece. You know, Order of the Phoenix exists as a whole film. I don't want to just see one scene given to me in advance. I want to see the whole movie, and I want it to be good.
You don't have to watch it.
I don't have to watch it. But the fact that they're releasing to everyone just to watch is just – it's disgraceful, because what they've got is something that seems to be very coherent and very important where it is in the movie. It seems to be fit and crammed so tightly that taking it out to show the people, hey, we did this scene and we like it, is just not good for anyone. It's just not – people don't need to see that. They'll see the movie anyway. All right, guys, I got to go. Good luck discussing everything else. I don't want to snub the listeners. I try to get in a little bit, but I have to go to work now. So I'll...
Okay, have fun at work. Where do you work
Borders,
at?
Borders, man.
You flying back to the movie theater?
Yeah, I fly back to the movie theater. No, but we do get Spider-Man 3 before y'all by like a day, so it's pretty cool.
Ooh.
All right, cool. Take care.
Enough of what we think of the trailer. Samantha19 from Illinois writes, hey guys, love you. Love the show. I was very pleased to see Fred and George flying around wreaking havoc. My only hope for this movie is that they keep in the funniest line. Give her hell from us, Peeves. Umbridge looks positively annoying, as she should. At first, it was a bit weird to see Voldemort in a suit, but now I kind of like it. Does it look kind of different to you guys, like redder lips or something? And of course, there was Dumbledore's flight. I think that maybe Michael Gambon may finally be bringing out the true Dumbledore. About time. Overall, this movie looks amazing. I can't wait. End quote.
Voldemort's lips do look
pretty... I wasn't looking at his lips.
I thought Voldemort looked a little different.
Yeah.
Like his face, it almost looked like his eyes were more sunken and there was more darkness there, and his lips looked more human than they did in the last one. I noticed that as well.
Which I think is a good idea, because you want to make him look real, but at the same time you want to make him look unreal.
Yeah. He doesn't look drastically different. I just think they've made some makeup cosmetic type changes just to kind of upgrade him, I suppose.
Right.
I think it looks fine.
Right. Yeah, what else did she say here?
Oh, Dumbledore's flight. That looked really great.
Oh, yeah.
That just looked amazing. Yeah, that was just another thing in that trailer, was so many large-scale type action moments, and I'm really, really excited for
Definitely. It. We got some other feedback from Andrew of Chicago, Illinois. He writes, I'm probably the only one that hates the trailer. I can accept changing some things and cutting things to make a movie, but this is Potter blasphemy. They might as well call this Harry Potter and some of the things that occurred in Order of the Phoenix, but perhaps in different places or with different people, and some things that didn't occur at all with some stuff that will look cool with a bunch of CGI. I think that's too long of a title. P.S. Is that Jamie I see in the business suit of the train? I thought he missed it. Oh, snap. That's a good one. Andrew and Jamie can't defend themselves, which makes it even better. I think it's too early to be complaining about the changes, although we already have.
Yeah. I think his big complaint is that what they're doing is basically taking characters who weren't there during certain parts of the movie. Like, they have Ron in the woods with Harry and Hermione when they come into contact with Grop. And then they've definitely put more of a focus on characters like Fred, George, the trio, Luna, Cho, and Ginny for Dumbledore's army, as opposed to how many people were in it originally. But I don't think that's a bad thing, because if you tried to focus on all of the people that were in there originally, it was like, what, 25 people? There's no way you could put that kind of focus in a movie. You've got to keep your focus with the characters that the audience can relate with, because they're the ones that they know.
All right, and one last piece of feedback comes from Laura, 24, of Salisbury, Wiltshire, UK. Chip, chip. She writes, well, that's all I can say. I'm not even more excited about this film than I was before, and I didn't think that was possible. The most exciting thing in this trailer for me is Ron. It seems like the filmmakers have realized that Rupert is more than just a rubber face and have given him some great lines. Ben would not agree with this, but she quotes, who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger? Perfect, she says. Laura Ooh. From the UK thinks...
Laura, I used to have problems with people named Laura. I think that's more than obvious by now. Just kidding, Laura. I love you. You know I love you, Laura.
Yeah.
Which one are you talking to, Ben?
Both. All Lauras. If your name is Laura, Ben Shane sends his love.
All right. So that does it for the feedback this week. If you have anything to add to our conversation, please email it in to mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com, and maybe we'll put it on the show next week. Also, something that came out this week, a new Order of the Phoenix website. Have you guys checked that out?
I did. I signed up for the Dumbledore's Army. It was awesome.
Me too, but they wouldn't let me in.
Yeah,
they had to review my profile.
Yeah, but then once you come back like an hour or two later, they'll let you in. I was trying to do the spells, and it wouldn't register any of them. Like, it gives you 20 tries, and then it tells you...
Oh, Andrew's a squib. Yeah. Oh, Andrew's a squib.
I guess that's what it means. I just thought it was a computer problem. I didn't even think it was me. But it tells you how to do it, but I couldn't, you know, do it right. That's that. Anything else to add about the website? It's nice. I hate sound. I hate web sound on websites.
Yeah, that was so annoying. Oh, my gosh.
Every time you opened up a window, it would play the music.
Yeah, oh. Man, I'm rocking out to Freddie Mercury, and then all of a sudden... Like, obnoxiously loud. Yeah. Thank God they have a turn off button, but, you know, that's just...
You know...
What?
You know what's annoying to me?
What's that?
This Harry Potter theme park rumor that just won't seem to
Ben,
die.
But it's true.
It's true?
If
oh, yeah, it is true. Well, that's right. It is
well,
true.
Well, not, sort not of. Really, but... So there's been rumors going around for a while, but now they seem to be picking up pace again, which, you know, could mean absolutely nothing, but it could also mean that some things, you know, are in the works. The Harry Potter automatic news aggregator independently confirmed, apparently, that Universal, J.K. Rowling, and Warner Brothers are on talks to make it happen. So with that said, I think it's certainly a possibility.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Oh, there's so many possibilities you could do.
Oh, this would be awesome. Azkaban, the Azkaban ride. That would be sweet. Oh my.
It seems like a stupid question, but would everyone go to the theme park?
I'd go.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. That would be a giant attraction. Because
I don't know if I would be first in line.
Well, that's because I'd shove you out of the way. I'd be first. So, no. You wouldn't be first.
Well, you know, in that article that we posted, didn't it say that they were considering just adding it as part of the Islands of Adventures thing at Universal Studios?
Right, it wouldn't be an actual, it would be an extension.
Yeah, and
right.
Those, I mean, I was just there a couple months ago, and those little sections have like two or three rides each, so it wouldn't have tons and tons of Harry Potter rides. There would be like a restaurant and like some shops and stuff, but it wouldn't be huge. if they had it there, yeah. Which would be kind of disappointing.
Oh, can you just imagine the store area Diagon Alley? I mean, it would be very predictable, yeah. Some of the things.
I think it would be awesome just to go
It would
there.
Be awesome.
I wish that there'd be like actual Dementors that come around and suck out people's souls. Now, that would be
cool.
Yeah, because
there would be mascots. Wouldn't that be where it seemed like a Harry Potter? See, but Harry Potter, you couldn't really put it, like, Mickey Mouse.
Can you imagine a little kid going up to get his picture taken with a hooded, a cloak, you know, a Dementor? That'd be crazy.
And also, moving along, Dan and Richard Griffiths are coming to the United States for Equus, apparently. Not completely confirmed yet.
That is crazy.
Isn't it? Because we were just joking around on the show a couple weeks ago that they wouldn't be coming out to the U.S. It wouldn't make sense, because like with filming Half-Blood Prince coming up later this year, you know?
Yeah, I remember that actually.
I think it's going to be huge here, first of all. I mean, you know, all these Dan Radcliffe fangirls, I mean, there's quite a few in the United Kingdom, but there's even more in the United States. And I think it's just going to be huge. The fangirls are going to be going crazy. But, oh, it's closing down in mid-June, which, and there's been, like, tabloids have been saying, oh, they're being shut down because it's been doing so bad. It hasn't been doing bad, but I don't think it met their expectations in terms of ticket sales. Obviously, Dan Radcliffe was a big selling point for anyone interested in going to see Equus. Okay, so I think that wraps up the news discussion for this week. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about? I mean, there's been so much lately. It's unbelievable.
We're probably going to have 10 million things we remember we wanted to talk about once we stop recording.
Yeah, I'm looking at the news now. I mean, there was the Order of the Phoenix promo poster, which looks fantastic. I think it's probably my favorite
one. One thing that I'm glad about, and I think it was actually addressed in one of these rebuttals that we just read, was that for once in these posters, Ron does not look like he just wet his pants.
Oh, yeah.
I love that so much. I'm like, finally.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the caption, "The Rebellion Begins."
Yeah, I really like how they're taking on the political rebellion type thing that's going on in the Wizarding World during that point in the series. Yeah. I'm really glad that they're doing that.
Yeah, Bonnie Wright looks much more mature. I could have sworn she's aged 10 years since we've seen her. I saw her. Seriously, I mean, she looks a lot...
Where's the picture of her at in the photo, in the poster?
Right there. I just linked you. Yeah. And Ivana Lynch is looking very nice, too. Shout out to Ivana Lynch, MuggleCast listener.
Does she really look that mature? Is it just because the way the...
I think she does, because they have some promo pictures, like individual headshots of everybody, and she looks a lot older in this one. They had them all
on
Yahoo.
You get that point where you do suddenly grow up a lot
more.
Yeah,
I mean...
And I think Ginny looks taller than Harry in this photo, but really, she's not. That might be making her look a little bit older. Why isn't Harry wearing his Hogwarts wardrobes?
Neither's Hermione.
Him and Hermione.
That's what I didn't get about. Like, why are they two in? Why are they in normal attire and everybody else is in their robes?
That is kind of strange.
Also, there's been a lot of news with the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix video game.
They released They released a sizzler trailer, they're calling it, basically to hype up, you know, the new game with some great shots and stuff. And the game's looking fantastic. You're going to be able to walk around the game, or walk around Hogwarts as you please. It's going to be unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And MuggleNet News is now available in Portuguese for all you out there who...
You Brazilians out there.
Yeah, for all you Brazilians. Let me try to read a post. O leitor da MuggleNet Lucas envis nos lig para uma veraço melhor do trailer into na canal K.
That's very disrespectful. Thank you very much.
No, I don't know my Portuguese. I'm not good at any language. I'm not even English.
I know, I had a Brazilian foreign exchange student at my school last year. I have one this year, too.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. You have your school, Laura?
Yeah.
But the video game's going to be amazing. When me and Jamie were there last month, the PS3 version is unbelievable, the quality. Jamie was actually just there today. We're recording on a Thursday. Jamie was there today. He got a bunch of interviews, and we're going to have them on MuggleCast within the next few weeks. So we're going to get another good look at the video game coming very soon on the show. Let's wrap things up today with two chicken soups for the MuggleCast soul to make up for last week. and all the other times that we skipped. This is really, you know, we've talked about this before, but this is a quality segment of the show, I do believe. All right, so our first chicken soup today comes from Linda, 47, of Missouri. She writes, I just had to tell you guys and Laura how much I love the podcast and listening to all of your theories and comments. It reaffirms my lost faith in today's youth. We get that a lot, people say. Yeah. It makes, I feel so much better about teenagers these days when I listen to you guys. So that, I guess that's a compliment, yeah.
They only know what we do outside of the show.
I thought you might enjoy a little chicken soup moment. I am a grandma in the Midwest with a 21-month-old granddaughter named Raven that was born visually impaired. One of the things we enjoy doing together is reading Harry Potter out loud, as I rapidly tire of reading the routine toddler fare. Raven may not be able to see what is on the pages, but she knows what books are by touch and likes to help turn the pages and hear the paper crackle, as well as the stories. She's learning to walk and talk and can say book and read, and recently started bringing books to me and saying, "Miney." I thought she was saying mine, because we have Raven's books and Grandma's books, but one day I kept hearing her say it when I had Goblet of Fire playing on the TV, and I realized she was saying Hermione. It was heartwarming to know that one thing she and I will always be able to share is a love of reading, whether out loud or later on by Braille, and especially a love of Harry Potter. Thanks to all of you for helping to keep the love of reading alive in your generation and those that follow you. I look forward to the podcast each week, and think you are all great, but Laura is my favorite. Sorry, guys. Thanks for all you do, Linda. Thank you, Linda,
yeah,
very much.
You.
That was very nice. Laura, you can't talk. All right, and the next chicken soup comes from Andy, 15, of Ohio. She writes, Hey guys, my name is Andre, and I'm from Ohio. I have a disease called RP, and I'm gradually losing my eyesight. I look forward to MuggleCast every week, and I love listening to you guys. You really cheer me up, especially when I'm stuck in the hospital or at my doctor's office for a really long time. I am sad that I will have to listen to Deathly Hallows, and I won't get to read it, but whenever I am listening to MuggleCast, I always forget and just listen. Thank you guys so much for being there for me, and I will continue to listen every week. Signed, Andre. Also goes by Andy. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I think that does wrap up today's show. That was an entire Order of the Phoenix show. It was nice to get a little break from the books.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah, we had some voicemail planned, but we talked so much about the movies that we'll get to the voicemails next week. If you want to contact... You know, I really don't like how you guys mock me in the contact information thing, because James got this thing going on.
You do.
I'm going to start doing it more obnoxious, but because I'm trying to, you know, raise my voice to keep the tempos, to not bore people. So I'll do it again. Ben, what is the P.O. box if people would like to send us some parcel mail?
P.O. Box 223, Moundridge, Kansas, 67107.
You can also call in a voicemail, question, comment, or a listener rebuttal. Just keep your question under 60 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible. To call us, if you're in the United States, now I hear myself doing it. If you're in the United States, you can dial 1-218-20-MAGIC. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can dial 020-8144-0677. If you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast. Just try to keep your message under a minute and eliminate as much background noise as possible. Bam!
Have a wonderful day, people.
Have a wonderful week.
Remember, this is a historic time period, folks.
Ben, I'm not done yet.
Go on.
I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
Ben's trying to inspire us all now. You can also use the handy feedback form located on MuggleCast.com. Just select whoever you want to talk to. You can also email all of us at the same time, or you can get in your little listener rebuttals or submissions that way. Or just email our first name at staff.mugglenet.com. Also, I'm really talking down for today. You can use any of our community outlets. We have the MySpace, the Facebook, YouTube, Rapper, LastFM, the fan listing, and the forums. You can also dig us on dig.com, vote for us once a month at Podcast Alley, and rate and review us at Yahoo Podcast. You guys, we have over 8,000 friends on our MySpace now.
I thought you were supposed 8, to stop 000. At it.
8,000!
7777.
We did for like 2 days, but then some friends would start dropping off. Like, people would delete their accounts and then would drop underneath. It was too hard to keep it at exactly at 7777. That is that. And don't forget to become a member today at picklepack.com for exclusive MuggleCast audio, video, pictures, secret documents, and much more. You also get a free shirt. We're only accepting signups through June 16th, so sign up today. And all money raised benefits the show and our summer plans with the live podcast and all that. And if you have any questions for us, just email Andrew or Ben at staff.mugglenet.com. We'll be happy to answer them for you. So once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
And I'm Laura Thompson.
We'll see everyone next week for episode 89. Bye-bye.